to the adjacent property owners go? The properties on this side, will they, how have you figured that out, that they're?
The reversion is actually determined by the county cartography department based on how the land was originally subdivided. In this case, the land will split 50-50 down the center line of the street. So the property owner on the east, Mr. Baker, he is aware that there's a concrete driveway that will revert back to him as a part of that property.
But it does regularize the buildings that were, the buildings that will now be on their own property?
Yeah, the building
won't be on the other person's property?
Right.
Ben, you have a comment?
I didn't mean to interrupt the conversation. But
we can't hear you, Ben.
Yeah, can't hear you.
I didn't mean to interrupt the conversation, but at the conclusion, I have a point to make.
The home, the largest structure that actually encroaches, is only about a foot into the public right-of-way. The other structures that you see there are sheds and storage units that have since been moved out of the right-of-way.
That's a good clarification. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
To the extent that there's an amendment, that should occur today by council motion. Otherwise, it would be amended at the second reading, which would cause it to be delayed by a week, and there won't be any council meetings after next week for the remainder of the month. So if we want to move this along on a timely basis, it would be appropriate to make the motion to amend it in conformance with Commissioner Fritz's comment today so that it could be voted on next week.
So moved.
Second.
Yep.
What's the motion?
To amend the findings to detail the comprehensive plan compliance.
The motion is to amend the findings to reflect the statement just made by Commissioner Amanda Fritz. It's been moved and seconded. Any discussion on that? Carl, will you please call the vote on the amendment?
Leonard?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Adams?
Aye.
Thank you.
All right. Anyone wish to testify on 1550?
No one signed up.
Move to a second reading next week. Can you please read the resolution, item number 1551.
Authorize the city attorney's office to join in an amicus brief and participate in court proceedings in City of New York v. Metropolitan Taxicab Board of Trade.
The city attorney just left the room. No, city attorney. Ben, what are we looking at here?
Council, Ben Walters, City Attorney's Office. What this ordinance authorizes is the city to participate in an amicus filing with the U.S. Supreme Court responding to a ruling out of the East Coast pertaining to an attempt by the City of New York to increase by regulatory requirement the amount of hybrid vehicles within its taxicab fleet, and as pertains to the climate action plan discussion earlier today, this is an aspect of climate change that we are interested in. As was described in the testimony, vehicle emissions are a significant contributor to greenhouse gas emissions within the city, and anything we can do to address that. Their BPS has worked previously with licenses in an effort to study going in that direction for the vehicle fleet here in Portland. That was put on hold when the district court in New York City ruled that New York City's efforts were preempted by federal law. There is a consortium of cities led by the City of Chicago that is going to be preparing an amicus brief urging the Supreme Court to take this case on for review. And we, at the Portland level, will incur very little in the way of costs. We're just signing on to the amicus brief, but this is to allow the city attorney's office to do so.
Mayor, I have a friendly amendment.
Yep.
This has a flavor to me of LT2, and the friendly amendment would be that since the process of challenging the court ruling on preemption is going to take some time, and since there's going to become a legal question of whether the feds did or did not intend to limit our right to mandate hybrids in our taxi fleets, perhaps the friendly amendment would be that we add this to our legislative agenda as a matter discussed with our delegation if there's a administrative fix which would cure this and obviate the necessity of the litigation. Since preemption is ultimately a question of federal intent, and the Supreme Court will decide it, but in the short term, we could simply ask our delegation to seek a clarification that was not the intent to preempt this.
I see.
And we could work with government relations on that.
So you're saying proceed with the resolution and the other track?
But just pursue the legislative phase because it might be a cleaner path.
Absolutely. It makes sense.
So my understanding of the reason that we would engage in this is because the ruling interferes with local authority on issues that we care about.
Correct.
All right. So the legislative intent, unless I hear objections from counsel, it is the legislative intent of counsel to pursue the dual-track approach to fixing this that was just stated by Commissioner Nick Fish. Is there anyone that wishes to testify on item number 1551? All right. Carla, can you please call the vote on this resolution?
Leonard?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Adams?
Aye. Resolution is approved. Can you please read the title for procurement report, item number 1552?
Accept bid of Wildish Building Company for the Argyle and 13th Pump Station remodel project for $838,300.
Ms. Moody, welcome back.
Thank you. Christine Moody, Procurement Services. You have before you a procurement report recommending a contract award to the low bidder in the amount of $838,300. The city identified 21 divisions of work for potential minority, women, and emerging small business subcontracting opportunities. Subcontracting participation on this project is at 10.8%, and work is being performed in the areas of carpentry, plumbing, roofing, metal fabrication, fencing, and trucking. Dan Hebert from BES is here to answer any technical questions about the project you might have. Otherwise, I'll turn it back over to council for additional questions.
Discussion from council. Does anyone wish to testify on procurement report item number 1552? All right. We don't do motions, right? We just vote on these? I can't remember.
So moved.
Sometimes we do.
Sometimes we do, sometimes we don't. Well, we don't want to waste Commissioner Fish's motion.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to accept the procurement report, item number 1552. Please call the vote.
Leonard.
Aye.
Fritz.
Aye.
Fish.
Aye.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Adams.
Aye. 1552 is approved. Can you please read the title for emergency ordinance, item number 1553?
Approve funding recommendations made by the Children's Levy Allocation Committee for a collaborative grant with the Gates Foundation to fund the Trauma Recovery Services for High Needs Families Project.
Commissioner Dan Saltzman.
Well, without further ado, I'll turn this over to our Children's Levy Assistant Director, Meg McElroy, who will walk us through this collaboration that we have with the Gates Foundation to help families that are subject to trauma.
All right. Thanks, Commissioner Saltzman, Mayor Adams, Commissioners. Thanks for having me today. I'm just trying to pull up a PowerPoint here. Thanks, Carla. I got it up. I just needed to get it started. Terrific. Thank you. I'm Meg McElroy, Assistant Director with the Portland Children's Levy, and I'm coming to you today to talk about a very unique and interesting project that we have the opportunity to collaborate with the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation to fund a particular set of services for families who have experienced intense trauma. Before I get started, I just want to remind folks of what the Portland Children's Levy is, and then I'll talk a little bit about the how we came to come to this collaboration and what the project specifically is. The Portland Children's Levy was created by voters in 2002 and was overwhelmingly renewed in 2008. So it's a five-year property levy, and so far it's in its second five-year span. It annually invests roughly $12 million in over 70 programs that are proven and cost-effective and reaching 16,000 children and families in the city of Portland. Over the 3 years of its second five-year span, for its first 3 years, it will invest a total of $90 million through 2012. It focuses its investments in five program areas: early childhood, after school, foster care, mentoring, and after-school programs. Just a snapshot of who we serve. Over 60% of the children served by the levy are children of color. Over 25% speak a language other than English, so Spanish or other languages. And just over 50% live in Southeast and Northeast Portland. So the majority of our programs serve children who are at risk, perhaps for negative outcomes or disproportionately affected by negative outcomes. So we feel like our programs are reaching the children they're intended to reach. The levy uses tax dollars quite wisely. It's audited annually and operates with only a 5% administrative cap. So 95 cents of every dollar that it generates goes directly to the programs. All the programs are monitored by staff. Grantees are selected typically through a competitive process, with the exception of our $3 million leverage fund, which seeks to match our public dollars with private dollars to maximize what we're able to do for Portland's children. And that's what brings me here today, and I'll talk a little bit more about that momentarily. And the levy is overseen by a 5-member public committee. Commissioner Dan Saltzman chairs that committee. Commissioner Deborah Cafori of Multnomah County sits on that committee. It has 2 citizen-appointed representatives, one from the city and one from the county. Adrian Livingston and Alyssa Kenny Geyer are the citizen-appointed members of the committee, and Ron Belts represents the Portland Business Alliance. The allocation committee meets monthly to quarterly, depending on the amount of business it needs to uptake. And most recently, it has spent a lot of time looking at its leverage fund opportunities, part of which has gone to challenge grants in which providers proposed to the allocation committee how they would raise additional private or other public funds to match levy dollars for projects. And another set of the leverage funds was set aside for the purpose of collaboration directly on the part of the levy with other funders. So $500,000 was set aside in January for levy staff or other funders to work together on projects of mutual interest. And in order to get that effort up and running, the allocation committee authorized the establishment of sort of a working group that we call our collaboration committee that's made up of other funders, including representatives from Social Venture Partners Portland, the United Way, and Northwest Health Foundation, and the Chalkboard Project, to help sort of seek out and cultivate ideas for collaborative projects in our community. And that group has met monthly since January, trying to sort of sketch out a framework for how they might screen these collaboration projects and also to come up with potential projects for funding. Most of the collaboration grants, unlike our other projects, are hopefully going to focus on system improvements, capacity building, and they may have a direct service component, which is what all our other grants do, but this is sort of a unique opportunity for us to look at what are some of the issues facing children's services in our community and how might we better provide them more effectively and more efficiently for children and families. The committee's framework through which it is sort of screening potential projects is looking at leverage first and foremost. How much is the leverage, not only in terms of dollars, but what other resources or partnerships are being brought by the potential project? Making sure that there's a very clear theory of change that's articulated for the project, understanding very much what are we seeking to do and why. That there is an emphasis on capacity building and system improvements, particularly if it benefits current levy grantees. The committee is looking for projects that sort of balance high support from other funders or maybe new ideas that haven't had a lot of momentum yet. And then with this $500,000, they're looking at funding maybe 4 to 5 projects in total. So this our working group of collaboration committee members or funders are generating these ideas and then sending them out to the allocation committee for votes. And this is the first project that they have recommended and that the allocation committee has approved. So the project that I'm here to ask for funding today is called Recovery Services for Families with Trauma History. And the goal of the program is to reduce child abuse and neglect among families who have had a very serious history of trauma, particularly for moms. And those kinds of trauma histories may include things like sexual abuse, extended abuse as a child, domestic violence, substance abuse, either by themselves or generationally in their family, or other serious mental health issues that either they may be experiencing or that have affected them throughout their lives. This project was generated out of some learning that came through the Bridges to Housing project. And for those of you who aren't familiar with that, that's a regional initiative locally between Multnomah County, Clackamas County, Clark County in Washington and Washington County to try to stabilize chronically homeless families. So housing providers and social service providers are providing permanent housing up to 2 years or more and intensive case management services for very chronically homeless families in the attempt to stabilize and improve outcomes for those families. And Portland State University's Regional Research Institute has been the evaluator of that project. And one of the things that they discovered in their evaluation was that there was a subset of families for whom Bridges to Housing wasn't really working. And the common sort of experience of those programs was a trauma history for the moms. And so they proposed to the Gates Foundation, who had been a longtime funder of the Bridges to Housing project, to kind of look at what's going on with that population and try to provide some intervention that would help really bring those families into housing and help them be more successful. And the Gates Foundation was quite interested in the project and has put forth $225,000 over 3 years toward the model that the PSU's Regional Research Institute has proposed. But the Gates Foundation funding was conditioned on getting local funding, and so the levy has proposed to match that grant with $100,000 over 3 years. The project will provide group psychotherapy to 30 mothers with a history of trauma at their housing sites each year for 3 years. And the Regional Research Institute of Portland State will be providing what is called the Trauma Recovery Empowerment Model. It's an evidence-based practice that's recognized by the Federal Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration. And while they'll be providing that intervention, they have housing partners, social service partners, Impact Northwest and Catholic Charities that'll be providing the housing and the case management to the families. So PSU will provide the main intervention and their housing partners will sort of work with the families to help meet their ongoing case management needs. In addition to the actual direct service, PSU's Regional Research Institute will be working with those two nonprofit providers who are also levy grantees to look at how they deliver services to families in a trauma-informed manner. So there's been a lot of work in this community in the past 5 years over looking at how to provide trauma-informed services to very young children. But one of the gaps that we have is how do we provide trauma-informed social services to adults, particularly mothers. And so PSU will be working with those two organizations to do some organizational assessment and capacity building around improving their ability to do that. So this project is really a pilot on a lot of levels, and it's getting a lot of attention. The county is quite interested in it. Their human services department is looking at what learning might come out of this project to inform their mental health contracting locally. And about 2 weeks ago, Portland State held a sort of kickoff and introductory event with stakeholders to roll out their announcement of getting the Gates funding for this project. And there were only over 60 people in attendance from all sort of different departments that you could sort of envision might be interested in this work in attendance. So there's quite a bit of excitement, and we're quite excited about it. So I'm hoping to answer any questions and get your approval on $100,000 in funding for this project.
Mayor, I have a couple, if I might. Meg?
Yeah.
A couple of things. Last year, the Gates Foundation contributed about 80-something million dollars to homeless prevention and homeless services in the state of Washington. One of my roles is the housing commissioner for the city of Portland, and we have been advised by HUD that we have to become more assertive in dealing with foundations to help us backfill our needs. So first, since we too plan to make this pilgrimage in January, I'd love a copy of your grant application and also to know who did it in your shop so we can debrief them to figure out the best approach.
Okay. We didn't actually write a grant application. We just negotiated directly with a particular grant officer at Gates. Portland State put in the grant application, so I can ask for their grant application.
Yeah, if we could just see what one looks like.
Sure.
And then, actually, we'd benefit from a briefing at some point on your experience in dealing with Gates.
Okay.
Again, we hope to, at some point, convince them to extend their geographic boundaries beyond the state of Washington to include Oregon, particularly in the area of homeless services.
Okay.
You mentioned Bridges to Housing, and it raises an interesting question because the city is a partner with the county on Bridges to Housing, but the city has not been able to make the kind of investment we would all like simply because our budgets are strained. But it's a wonderful program. And at budget time, what I will be interested in doing is is kind of figuring out holistically who's spending what at the county, the city, through Children's Levy and other groups, because we are moving towards a model that's trying to track all the money into the system and figure out how best to spend it. And while these independent measures and initiatives are potentially very fruitful, I think the trend is to try to harness them and link them up and see how they all work together. And if this program, for example, means that some money that can otherwise was going to be dedicated can be reallocated, or if there's city or county money that can partner with this, I think it's a broader discussion that would be useful, since it's actually one system with a lot of different players playing a constructive role. But the other question I had, and I didn't see it in the materials, is how were Impact Northwest and Catholic Charities selected?
That's a good question. I don't know the direct answer to that. Portland State would really know the answer, but mainly I think because they are two Bridges to Housing providers. They provide the actual, they have units allocated for Bridges to Housing families,
yeah.
And they also have the staff who provide the case management. So my assumption is that they were natural partners already in Bridges to Housing, and since these families were essentially families that were unable to be successful in the Bridges model, these two providers out of the handful of providers doing Bridges were willing to undergo this model with PSU and kind of look at how do we better serve these families who aren't able to make it in what we're already providing.
Yeah, and I'd like to know more about that because, you know, we are often constrained by having to go through RFP processes or other competitive bidding processes. And if there are other mechanisms for funding existing providers with these kinds of money, I'd like to know what your experience has been with that and whether it's something we can learn.
Okay.
Thank you.
Sure.
Additional council discussion? Is there anyone here that wishes to testify on emergency ordinance item number 1553?
No one signed up.
All right. Carla, can you please call the vote?
Leonard?
Aye.
Fritz?
Thank you, Meg, and thank you, Commissioner Saltzman, for your ongoing great work on this. Aye.
Fish.
Aye.
Saltzman.
I want to thank the staff, but I also want to thank our Portland voters for being able to have these $12 million in annual investments in children be available, and for us to be able to leverage our public dollars with private dollars, in this case, the Gates Foundation, to maximize our public expenditures and our ability to help kids who need help. Aye.
Adams.
Really great work. Thank you, Commissioner Saltzman, the voters of Portland, and the great team you have in place. Aye. 1553 is approved. We are recessed until 2 p.m.